Be speaking to you about the some of the last words that Jesus spoke before he left this earth and went to be with his Heavenly Father, and Nikki is going to read those words to us now.
Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make the disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
All right, now a word of explanation, really. When we fixed this date as being our last Sunday here, Eddie said that he would like to lead the service. And I thought to myself, well, I should be an emotional wreck. I'm not volunteering for anything. And then later that same morning, we went for a swim. And unbeknown to us, the pool was closed for maintenance. There was no water in it. So, done. I had to go and have a lie down in the sauna. I know, terrible. But you see, while I was lying there on my own in the sauna, God just gently dropped a sermon outline into my head. And I thought, okay then, I guess that's what I'm doing. So, here you are. In true Baptist tradition, there are 3 points, so you'll be able to track the progress. But I have to say that under point 2, there are 5 subsections, so it's not quite that straightforward. Okay, so to my first point. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. These are the words of Jesus. And what I want to say to you this morning is this. Jesus is Lord. Will you say that with me? Jesus is Lord. Well, and again with conviction, Jesus is Lord. Thank you. You see, Jesus is Lord of this church, and he is not going anywhere. Now, last week, I believe you heard a sermon that was based on the opening chapters of the Gospel of John, the opening verses. And those verses clearly show that Jesus has every right to be Lord because he was there in the beginning with God. But I want to remind you and I want to show you that although that position was rightfully his, he willingly gave it all up. Now, my wonderful visual aid here representing the life of Jesus. And here we have that he was God and that he had divine status, but he poured that out. He became human. He became a servant and he poured that out. And then last of all, he died an awful death. And he poured himself out for us. Now, that's why God has given him the highest name of all. Not only is it his by right, but he's earned it too. And I love this. This is from Philippians and it's in the Passion Translation. Listen to this. Because of that obedience, God gave Jesus the greatest of all names. The authority of the name of Jesus causes every knee to bow in reverence. Everything and everyone will one day submit to his name, in the heavenly realm and in the demonic realm. And every tongue will proclaim in every language, Jesus is Lord, bringing glory and honor to his Father. Isn't that wonderful? Now, when I read that in church, you know, we think, yes, I believe that. I really do. And then we look at what's happening. We don't have a pastor at the moment. We don't know when we will have one. But think back for the minute about Jesus pouring himself out. Why did he do all this? It was for the church. It was for the church. It was for you. It was for us. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5 that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So if Christ loves the church that much, don't you think he's going to lead us to a new pastor when it's the right time? You know, Jesus has been Lord over this church right from the beginning. And you can read about it in this book that was written by Chris Dixon's dad, John. Jesus has been Lord for 120 years in this place, and he's not going to stop now. But the trouble is, it just isn't easy to trust God when nothing seems to be happening, is it? Back in December, we were here in the church lounge having a prayer meeting, praying for the future of the church. And as we were praying, I kind of just saw in my mind a picture of a patch of bare earth. Just bare earth. Now, if you're a gardener, you know that if you've got bare earth in your garden, actually it may look as though nothing's happening, but underneath, roots are going down and shoots are making their way up to the surface, and growth is happening even though you can't see it. And I thought at the time, oh, that's lovely. That's a really encouraging picture for the church being like a garden. And then a couple of weeks ago, I was on a train looking out the window and we went past some fields of bare earth. And I thought, no, that's it. The church is like a field where it looks as though nothing is happening, but growth is going to happen. And God is wanting to produce a rich harvest here. He is working, even though we can't see it. Now, with all this uncertainty over the senior position of senior pastor and Helen and Martin leaving, we may feel like saying, well, what is happening? Has God forgotten about us? But I want to tell you, no, 1,000 times no. God started working here 120 years ago and he's not going to stop now. Listen to this from Psalm 33. The Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. So hold on to that thought. Hold on to the thought that God has plans. And we'll move on to point two. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. This is Jesus' commission to the disciples to go and take the gospel to everyone. Now, I know this is not limited to what we do through the church. Wherever you go, you carry the grace of God. In your work, in your family, wherever you go, you are there carrying the grace of God. But I'm concentrating on church this morning. And I believe God wants to do a new thing here at Woodside. Now, over the years, there's been a prophecy that's been prayed over us several times that we should be like a light in a dark place. And I believe that is still God's calling on us, even if sometimes we might feel like a torch with dodgy batteries. But Jesus told his disciples to go to all the nations. Now, hold on. Yes, they are still there. The flags are still there. All the nations, all these flags represent people who belong to this church. All nations. We live in a part of London, in Croydon, where people from all nations live. We don't have to go anywhere. People are here, and Jesus is here for them. But many of them don't know. And it's our job and our calling to tell them. But if this is to happen, I believe there are things God wants to say to you as a church. Here are the five subsections. Here they come. Number one, we need to pray. I've been praying for a spirit of prayer to come on this church. We need to pray. We must pray. We can't survive without prayer. If we try and do without prayer, we don't show our utter dependence on God. We don't listen to him. We don't wait to hear his voice. Then we're no different from any other human organisation. And quite frankly, Satan is laughing his head off. Prayer must be our priority, not an optional extra or an addition for the keen ones. So I know that from a practical point of view, an evening prayer meeting is not the easiest thing for some people to get to. But you're creative people. You can think of other ways to organise things so that prayer happens, so that you're seeking God for what he wants for this church. I think it was just before Christmas when Alf was preaching. He finished his sermon with something similar, saying that we need to pray. And afterwards, I was talking to Alf about this, and he said to me that he'd been standing in the church lounge, looking at the promise on the walls, which, if you've never read them, say this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And Alf had the sense that Jesus was saying, yes, I know the plans I have for you, but are you ready to come to me and to hear what I have to say? So that's the challenge. Just at the beginning of January, on the 6th of January, Eddie and I were at church in Horsham, and somebody there stood up and said that they could see a picture of everyone in the congregation with a blank piece of paper. And then he said, God also has a piece of paper for each one of you, and on God's piece of paper, he has his plan for you for the year 2019. But he said, will you come to God and find out what his plan is for you? And so I'm asking you as a church, will you come to God and find out what is on God's piece of paper for Woodside Baptist Church for 2019 and beyond? Okay, that's number one. Number two, this is a strange picture. It's difficult to find when you Google Images, when you search for support. But this is the nearest I got. Okay, I would like to ask Moses and the deacons, any who are here, and Helen and Martin for a couple more weeks to please stand. And just have a look round at these wonderful people. See, these lovely people are working really hard on your behalf. They're sifting through applications, they're meeting potential new ministers, they're seeking God's will. But this is not their full-time job. They all have a life. And nearly all of them have day jobs. They're just doing this on a voluntary basis. And they are in the front line of Satan's attack. So please pray for them and ask them how things are going, to show them that you've thought of them during the week, and not just if you happen to be having a conversation with them on a Sunday. These are the people God has called to lead you. Support them in every which way you can. Please sit down. Okay, number three. Can you hold that slide a minute? Just a little minute, right? Because I'd like to ask you to ask God what response he's asking you to make at this time. Is he asking you to be baptized, for instance, or to become a church member? Now we'll have the picture. Or is he asking you to offer your gifts? Do you have this ministry? Ministry of washing up? Or this one? Ministry of DIY? Or are you good at sitting and listening to people, chatting to them? There are lots of opportunities for serving God here in this church. And everybody is needed to play their part. We are the body of Christ. And every part of us is important. Eddie said this about looking for an important person. We are all important. I want to tell you a story. And do you know what? I'm taking these off for a minute because I can't see you. You're all blurred. Right. Here is a story, true story that happened to me. It's some years ago when we had a dog. And I was taking our dog Scooby for a walk. Walking down Ferndale Road, minding our own business, when suddenly a dog from the other side of the road ran across the road and attacked my Scooby. Now, I was not best pleased, obviously. And the dog's owner kind of ambled over and we tried to separate the dogs. And in the ensuing tangle, I got bitten. Now, if you know me, you'll know that the miracle of the story is that I managed to get from Ferndale Road to the Portland Medical Center without passing out, only passing out once I'd arrived. So the point is, I got bitten on my little finger and they sorted me out. But the next day, I was due to go and visit a friend in Farnham and I was planning to drive. But because of my injured little finger, I couldn't grip the steering wheel properly. So we had to go through all the faffle of getting the train and she had to get her car out and meet me at the station and all that malarkey. But what I'm saying is this. This little pinky finger was only a little pinky finger, but it caused mayhem. You may feel as insignificant as a little finger, but you are necessary and you have a part to play. Right. Okay, next picture. Whoa, you don't often get talked about this in church. It's money. It's the five-letter word. Now, I'm not appealing for money. I'm not saying, the church needs money, although any church needs money if it's to keep going. That's just common sense. But what I'm asking you to do is to make Jesus Lord of your money and to give when he tells you to. Now, Eddie and I have always tried to live generously, and it started, I think, way back when we first got married. Sorry, Beth, this isn't in the script. We were living in a flat in Penge. Our flat, basically two rooms, was on the first floor, and the landlady and her husband lived on the ground floor. And on a Sunday evening, we used to invite the youth group from the church back to our flat for coffee and chat, and sometimes we had Bible study or whatever, but they used to come. And after a few weeks, the landlady called us to one side and said, "There are too many visitors. It's unfair wear and tear on the stair carpet." I think it was at that point that we decided that we were never going to live like that. And that our possessions and our money was never going to be more important than what God was asking us to do. So we've tried to live generously, and I'm not saying this to boast, I'm just pointing to God's faithfulness. Here's another story. Christmas, just before Christmas, Tesco were doing quite a campaign for the food bank. They had people welcoming you, they had trolleys ready for you to put your contributions in. And so we decided that we would buy about £10 worth of goods for the food bank. And so we went round doing our shopping, and Eddie, being a maths genius, was doing the mental arithmetic in his head. And we bought some milk and some ham and some tuna and some pasta, put it all separate so that we knew that was for the food bank. And the total came to £10.35. And we went through the checkout and we gave our contribution in the trolley for the food bank. While we were going up the travelator, Eddie picked up the receipt. And you know, at the bottom, it tells you how much money you've saved on multi-buys and other such things. And we had saved £10.05. So that contribution cost us 30p. You see, God, if we are generous, God is generous back. So ask him to give you the courage to let you be generous with your money. It doesn't matter how little or how much you have. Just ask him. Okay, number five. You've already seen one of these this morning. Actually, the identical one. It's the same picture on Google Images. I don't know if you remember when Joe and Brad were here. Brad's father used to come every now and again. And he gave a word for the church at one time where he said this. This church will grow through love and not through programs. Through love and not through programs. And didn't Jesus say, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, when you go through uncertain times as a church, or any time as a church actually, because we're all people and none of us is perfect, so we all get on each other's nerves from time to time, and there can be tensions, and you will disagree, but it's what you do with that disagreement that's important. Please resolve it, and don't let bitterness take hold. Forgive one another and love one another. I'm going to read you some words now that are normally within the confines of the marriage service, and they need to be taken out of the marriage service. I mean, they need to be included in the marriage service, but they don't need to be confined in it. They need to be planted firmly in the church. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable and keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Love, not programs. Okay, point three. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now these words are for Jesus, whatever our circumstances. They're for us as a church, they're for us as individuals. Jesus says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And I want to read you now something that I wrote in my journal when nothing seemed to be happening with our house move. We were getting some viewings, but nothing. And a friend said to me, you are being held. And I said, to what? Like a train at a red signal. And she said, exactly that. And this is what I wrote at the time. And I think these words apply as much to the church as they did for us then. When a train is held at a red signal, the driver's only responsibility is to obey that signal, put on the brakes, and wait. The safety of the passengers is in his hands. The people operating the signal have the overview of the track and the railway network, and they can see things the driver cannot. A problem or obstacle on the track ahead. Probably another train, but it might be leaves on the line or the wrong kind of snow. But the driver keeps his eye on the signal and only moves ahead when the signal tells him to. Now we are being held by Almighty God. Our Father has the full overview and he is in control. He knows things that we don't. Our being held is not unfortunate or unlucky or difficult, though it might be difficult to understand. Our being held is the action of our loving Heavenly Father, who is Lord of all, who is in possession of all the facts and amazingly is working for our good. We may be being held, but he is working on our behalf He's stopping our lives from becoming a train crash. Now, after Stephen Nwabisa left us, Helen and Martin organised a prayer evening here in the church. I don't know how many of you came to it. But there were different prayer stations around, and in one place there was a table with pencils and paper where you could sit and just listen to what God was saying, and if you wanted to, write it down or draw it. Now, I was reading the first chapter of Revelation, where there's that wonderful picture of Jesus in all his risen glory, his white robes, walking among the candlesticks or the lampstands. And in my mind's eye, I could actually see Jesus here among the pillars. I tried to draw it, but I'm not very good at drawing, and I think the drawing probably went in the bin. But I'm still convinced of the truth. Jesus is here, because John tells us that Jesus walking among the candlesticks is a picture of Jesus walking with his church. So, whatever the church's circumstances, Jesus is here. We've got this postcard. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and as you go, both now and forever. There are plenty of these. Grab one. Grab one for a friend. Use it. Pray over it. Use it to remind you that he is with you. Now, Jesus says, I am with you always. But no human being can say that to you, as you'll know only too well if you've lost someone dear to you. Eddie and I are going. Helen and Martin will be going soon. But Jesus is here, and he's not going anywhere. And he says this, surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. God bless you.